not be well.
Let's open our Bibles this evening, and we're turning to the book of Joshua. And in the Word of God, we turn in Joshua chapter 4. Let's follow the reading of God's Word, please, in Joshua chapter 4. And as we open the Scriptures, we just commence reading here at the verse number 1, Joshua chapter 4, and the verse is the verse number 1. It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God, into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests that bare the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. For the priests which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan, until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. When all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over in the priests in the presence of the people. Verse 14, On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that they bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. Verse 19, And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and then Captain Gilgal in the east border of Jericho, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, saying, What mean these stones? Ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye shall fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, as we bow before thee, we come to thee and we ask of thee that we might know the liberty of thy Holy Spirit to bring thy word. We pray tonight that our God, that as we gather in this service of remembrance, Lord, we look back into thy word and we see that they set up memorials in their day. And, O God, things to remember them of thine intervention in days that are past. O God, our help in ages past,
Thou art our hope for years to come, our shelter from a stormy blast, and our eternal home. In Jesus' name, amen. And across our nation and across the world today, many people have joined together. They have gone to their cenotaphs, they have gone to their memorials, and there they have gathered in solemn ceremony to remember the sacrifice of so many. We across the British Isles remember the sacrifice of all those from all classes and creeds that headed and heeded the call to arms in the great wars, the First and Second World Wars. The numbers of the dead in those wars were enormous, and we in Ulster joined with the rest of those throughout the kingdom and further afield to stand in defense of freedom. As we join in God's house this evening, let us not forget that there are those who are British soldiers and American forces that are standing together against an enemy in Iraq, and pray that God will keep them safe, that God will bless their families at home and bless the soldier lads and lasses that go there in the defense of freedom. Freedom is the most precious prize of civilization. And today the battle continues to rage. The battle is still being fought. And today many families have gathered at the memorial stones to remember the sacrifice of their loved ones. I want us to think of another history. It is a story here in the book of Joshua of the children of Israel as they headed to the promised land. Moses, at 120 years of age, was called home. He was taken up into the mountain. And the Bible tells us that God's servant passed on, and God buried him in the valley alone. There was no one else attended that funeral, only God himself. The Bible tells us clearly it was the Lord that buried Moses there. And indeed, across the world, there's many an unmarked spot where many a young man has fallen as they have gone forth at the call of queen or king or country in the defense of freedom. Moses is dead. Joshua takes the leadership under God. And God gives him instruction to go over Jordan. What a task lies before him. It seems to be an impossible task. We have over a million people, well over a million people, that he has to lead and take them over Jordan with him. How will he carry out such a task? But before he goes, God gives him a promise. And God promises him, just as he was with Moses, so that God will be with him. And Joshua knows that with God, all things are possible if we only believe. And so Joshua trusted the Lord. And with the assurance of victory that God would be with him and God would bless him and God would keep him and God would give him the victory, Joshua takes the leadership. Yes, God buries his workmen, but the work carries on. Whenever Moses died, God didn't say to Joshua, disband the people. Joshua, go back to Egypt. It's no use going on. No, God says, it's time to go. It's time to go forward. It's time to move over the Jordan. You see, 40 years earlier, God had told the children of Israel it was time to go, but they didn't. And instead of going with God, they rebelled against God. Instead of obeying God, they chose their own path. When God told them to go, they weren't willing to go. There were those who were discouragers. There were those who were rebellers in their midst. But thank God the rebellers and the discouragers are now dead. And God says, it's time to go, Joshua. It's time for you to lead my people into the land of promise. Now before breaking up camp, Joshua sent two spies to spy out Jericho. You see, that was the first city that the children of Israel were going to encounter in their campaign to conquer Canaan. And God would wonderfully deliver them, and God would wonderfully open a way. But before that, God opened Rahab, a harlot woman's heart. And God worked a miracle, because not only did He open her heart, but He opened her home. And God delivered His children in the hour of need. Thank God He still does. God delivers again. Men and women, our country is in great need. There is a great spiritual and moral decline throughout the United Kingdom. Right from the government down, there is a departure from the old standards and the old ways and the Word and the law of God. We deserve judgment. A nation that has been so richly blessed, a nation that has been lifted up, God has used in days that are past, is a nation that has now forgotten God, turned their back on God, chosen their own way. And yet, friend, God can deliver again. I'm glad I believe in a sovereign God tonight. I believe in a sovereign God of history. I believe in a God who has got His hand on the control. And I believe that God will work all things together for good to them that love God. Do you believe in Him tonight? As you look at the world and look at the situation, look what's happening all around us, friend, and the great moral and spiritual decline, and our elderly people are no longer safe in their homes, and society seems to have gone into deeper sin than ever before. Friend, without the Lord, there is no hope. But thank God when we trust in Him and get our eyes upon Him, the eyes of faith upon a sovereign, holy, almighty God. I'm glad He's still on the throne tonight. And I'm glad I believe that God still remembers His own. God said to Joshua, "It's time to go. It's time to move forward. It's time to cross the Jordan, Joshua. It's time to take the people across." But there are no boats. There are no ferries. There are no bridges. But there's God. And is it not true, friend, that we so often depend upon things? We got our eyes on the Lord. Or we depend upon others. And we get our eyes of the Lord, the sovereign God of glory, the sovereign God of heaven and earth, the sovereign God of this universe, the one who brought it all into being at the beginning, the very one who breathed into my body the breath of life, friend, and I became a living soul, the very God who has the right to take away. That sovereign God is still working tonight. He's still working. He's still working on me. And He's still working for me. Then that's a comfort for the child of God. A man one day was standing over the side of a great ship as it traveled across the ocean. And as some people were standing revelry in their revelry and their sin, that man was standing there, the captain of the ship, noticed him standing there for some time. And he looked out across the waves. And then he looked upwards, and then he looked downwards. And as he was standing there studying, the captain came over to the side of the ship and said, "Sir, I've noticed you've been standing studying. You've been standing still. Tell me, what do you see?" He says, "I see God. I see the handiwork of my sovereign God. I see a God who is in control of the billows. I see a God who is in control of the waves. I see a God who is in control of the winds. I see a God who put the very stars in place. Yes, I see God." That's where mine eyes are tonight. And friend, I trust that's where your eyes are. upon the Lord. It's time to go, Joshua. And for 3 days, the children of Israel, under Joshua's leadership, they lodged by Jordan. And there it was. Friend, let me tell you, the banks were flooded. It seemed to be the most difficult time. But you know what I believe? I believe that sometimes that God allows us, just like the children of Israel, God allows us to get full gaze of the difficulties in order to appreciate God's work on our behalf. He's a mighty God. He's an almighty God. And He's working on behalf of His blood-bought people tonight. And for 3 days, they lodged there. And then it's time to move. And God tells, through Joshua the priest, that they were to bear the Ark of the Covenant. And they were to come not only to the verge of the water, but they were to walk on in. They were to just walk on in. And so the priest came, and they carried the Ark of the Covenant, that precious cargo, which represented the very presence of God itself. And they took that Ark of the Covenant upon their shoulders, and they walked right on into the water. And the moment that their feet were bathed in the water, friend, God worked the first miracle. Because the Bible says that as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. But they had to obey God. They had to walk on into the waters. They couldn't stand at the water's side and say, God, open up the waters, let us walk on through. We have no responsibility. We're just going to wait for you to move. No, friend, there was a work for them to do. They had to obey God. And so have you and I, friend. Because God's command was clear. Walk on in. Face the waters. Step into the waters. And they had one duty, and that was to obey God. Obey God. Yes, people would stand back and say, but what are they doing? The soles of their feet are in the water. Are they going to perish? No, friend. They were walking with God. They were walking with God. That's a wonderful thing. To walk with God. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Tell me, are you walking with God? Are you, friend? We sing a wee hymn, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still in the roses. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me that I'm His own. The world can't understand why God's child gets excited by that fact. Let me tell you, friend. One with God's a majority. The sovereign God of heaven is one who is in control tonight. Listen, presidents and prelates and those that are in authority tonight, they feel or think that they are in control. They feel that somehow that they have got the destiny of the world in their hands, and yet they don't realize God is the one that has the world in His hands. He's the destiny of the world in His hands. Let me tell you, I'll tell you how I know. He's already told me it. You know what God has done? God has given me the end of the story in this book. And child of God, let me tell you, the world might laugh at you. The worldling might mock at you. They may call you a fool. But let me tell you, I've read the end of the story. And with God, you win. You win. The last laugh is with God. You know, the Bible says, God says, then shall I laugh at their calamity, and I will mock when their fear comes. And you know, when you know and love the Lord, my friend, you can laugh with God. You can laugh with God. And you look at the situation in the world and you stand back and you say, and people says, disaster. You say, but there's a sovereign God tonight. And He's written the last chapter of the story of this earth. And Jesus, the Son of God, is coming again. And those who are His shall rise to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But let me tell you, the soles of their feet stepped into the water, and then God worked another miracle. Because whenever they stepped into the water, the moment that the priest stood in the midst of the water, God dried up the water. And the Bible tells us that they stood firm on dry ground. They stood firm on dry ground. Listen, it had to be firm. Dry ground, and I'll tell you why. For God to take across that ground, friend, over 1 million women and children, 600,000 soldiers, their livestock and all. They weren't walking in clover. They were walking on dry ground. Why? Because with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible if you only believe. The numerical thing is this. Listen. It was wet ground, and with God it suddenly became dry ground. Let me tell you this. And God can take the stony heart, and by the working of His Spirit, He can make it soft. He can melt it. He took Saul of Tarsus, that rebellious sinner, that hated the Son of God, friend, that despised the very name of God, that mocked and sneered and laughed at those that belonged to Jesus Christ. And then He went further. He went out to persecute them and had authority to imprison them. Yes, and even to slay them. And yet, God took them and melted them. And he cried out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Even went further. Because when he was in prison, the Bible says when Saul and Paul and Silas were in prison, they sang praises unto the Lord. And here's a man that used to curse the Lord, and now he's singing praises unto the Lord. Not a bit of wonder the prison shook. Tell me, who changed the situation, friend? The Lord. Who can turn the tide of history? That same God. Who can change your life? Who can change your eternal destiny? Nobody but my Lord. Who can change, my friend, the place of your eternal destiny and take you out of the very depths of your sin and make you a child of God and take you to heaven when your feet was well nigh in hell? It's only the Lord. Not a bit of wonder, Stuart Hamlin said, it is no secret what God can do or what He's done for others. He can do for you. But friend, they had to obey God. Maybe you're here in this service tonight. You have a reverence about God. Maybe, friend, you have a knowledge about God. Let me ask you a straightforward question tonight. Have you a personal experience of His saving power? Have you a personal relationship with God, His Son? Have you acknowledged your sinnership before Him and your lostness before Him and cried out in your helplessness and your hopelessness, God, be merciful to me, the sinner? For if not, then, friend, you have a head knowledge, but you miss a heart experience. A wonderful relationship. You see, it's possible for you to know someone or about someone. We are subjects of Her Majesty the Queen. And each and every one of us gathered in this place, you know about Queen Elizabeth II. You know about the palace that she lives in and how wonderful and beautiful when you see it on television. But friend, tell me, you have a knowledge of her? But do you know her? Have you a personal knowledge of her? Have you walked into her royal, in the presence of a royal personage, and have you personally had a personal experience of being with her in her presence? That makes a difference. You can know about Jesus, but if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then, friend, where Christ is, you'll never be. You need the Lord tonight. We sing a wee chorus in our children's meetings, Ulster needs a Savior. A land so bright and fair. It's burdened with sin and with broken hearts. And few there are who care. Souls are drifting downward. Precious souls for whom Christ died. Oh, carry the message to Ulster hearts of Jesus, the crucified. Then that's what I want to do tonight. I want to carry the message of my Savior. I want to tell you about one who can save you from your sin. I want to tell you about one who is the way to heaven. The one who will take you from heaven to earth, who came from heaven to earth that He might be your Savior. The one who went to Calvary's cross. And as you think of the memorials, and as you stand and you consider those who have sacrificed so much, let me tell you, my friend, there was one who sacrificed more. The one who went to Calvary's cross, the sinless, spotless, holy, undefiled Son of God. And He went to Calvary's cross for your sins and for mine. That we might never perish. What a Savior. Do you know Him tonight? And so God said to the children of Israel and to Joshua, He says, Joshua, go over the Jordan. And the water was dried up and God worked a miracle. Friend, the work wasn't finished. Because God said to Joshua, I want you to choose out 12 men. And I want you to send one from every tribe of Israel. And I want you to send them in to the Jordan. And I want you to tell them to take a stone. And I want you to tell them to carry that stone and build a memorial at Gilgal. And in the times to come, when your children come to the stones and see the 12 stones, one placed on top of the other, Your children shall ask you, Daddy, what mean these stones? Daddy, what do they mean? Or your grandchildren come to you and say, Granda, tell me, what do you mean by these stones? What do they mean? You will turn to your children and you'll tell them. Yes, rehearse in your children's ears. These stones are a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let your children know Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground. Let your children know that God delivered them again. The sad thing is today that many people in Ulster have forgotten. Many people are today caught up with materialism. They think that they have made it. They think they have arrived. And men and women are building their lives, friend, upon the shallow foundation of human prosperity. Go anywhere in Ulster tonight and you'll see the beautiful homes. And there's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you, friend, we have to leave them someday. We'll have your home in heaven. You see, you've set your minds and you've set your thoughts upon the things of the earth that's fleeting, that's passing, that's momentary. And men and women have got so caught up in staying here and building and my digging down into this earth. And we're boasting of what we have, and yet our friend, my friends, tonight we've got to realize God has been good to Ulster. God has brought us through the nightmare of sorrow and heartache and heartbreak. You remember when the news came in, when a loved one has been taken or someone you knew, and your heart was breaking. And there was nowhere else to go, and there was nowhere else, no one else could help. And you cried out, oh God, help me through the night. Oh God, deliver us again. Oh God, hear our cry. And many a heart was broken. Many a tear was shed. And friend, God came. And He gave you peace in the midst of the storm. And He gave you help. And He has brought us through to this moment. But let me ask you, you've forgotten Him tonight? Don't need Him anymore? You've got all you need. What mean these stones, Daddy? Son? The children of Israel under God came through on dry ground. All the glory to God. Time's away tonight. You know those stones speak to me of helplessness? Not one of those stones could lift themselves out of the Jordan. But there were 12 men prepared. Men that were prepared of God. And they reached down and they lifted out those 12 stones. For they were helpless of themselves. Let me give you a verse of Scripture, friend. God says, without me, that's without Him, you can do nothing. It's in Him I live and move. It's in Him I have my being. Friend, let me tell you, Mrs. Waters was 97 and a half years of age. Long life. People say, was she in hospital? No. She was in her own bed, and just in a few moments it was all over. Ina Davison was diagnosed with cancer 2 months ago. On Tuesday, we buried her. She knew heartache. She saw the sudden death of her son. She saw the death of her husband. She saw the death of her two little grandchildren. And now for Ina, the time has come to go. But thank God she was saved. Prepared. Ready to go. But she was helpless of herself, and so are we. And here tonight, let me tell you, there's not one man or woman in the closing moments of this meeting, not one of us will ever make heaven on our own. You cannot do anything of yourself, friends, to save your soul. You'll never work your way to heaven. You'll never merit your way to heaven. People say to me, preacher, I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm religious. I go to church. I say my prayers. I read my Bible. I do this and I do that. My friends, let me tell you, I cannot save you. I couldn't save myself. That's why God gave His Son. Because God's Son, His name is Jesus, meaning Savior. Do you know Him tonight? Those thrones speak of helplessness. Those stones speak of mercy. You know, God was the only one who brought those stones to light. They were buried there in the waters of the Jordan. Man of Himself could never have found them. But God worked in a miraculous, merciful way and rolled back the floods. And praise God, they were picked out, chosen. Here I am tonight. And God has rolled back the floods of judgment, for His Son bore it all on Calvary for me. And in His sovereign mercy and grace, He has picked me out for Himself. And I am chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And here's my last thought. Those men stooped down and picked out the stones, and they carried them to the resting place. And I want to tell you, the good shepherd carried the sheep home. And thank God my Savior won't stop carrying me until He brings me home. What am I saying tonight?
look to Christ. Men and women, young people, you need the Savior. Without Him, you're lost. Without Him, you're hopeless. Without Him, you're helpless. But thank God in Christ, you're saved and secure. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee this evening and we thank Thee and we praise Thee for Thy goodness to us. We thank Thee for, in mercy and love, reaching down and saving us, those who are saved and redeemed by precious blood. Thank You for everyone that can truthfully say tonight, I am My beloved's and My beloved is Mine. He brought me into His banqueting house and His banner over me is love. And, O God, I pray tonight that ere this gathering draws to a close, our men and women go home. Grant that each one will come to a personal knowledge of the Savior. May they linger in Thy presence. May they bend the knee and bow their heart and cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and know Thy great salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. And in Thy mercy, deliver our land. For Jesus' sake.